Welcome to Words to Encourage, the daily radio broadcast of the Bible Baptist Church of Grove City, Ohio. Everyone needs encouragement. We all need to be uplifted. With today's encouragement, here's our pastor, Stan Slater.
With a smile, a bright sunny smile.
Welcome to Words to Encourage. This is the daily radio broadcast of the Bible Baptist Church. We are located in Grove City, Ohio, and I'm Brother Slaybaugh. Well, good Monday to you. I apologize in advance for my voice. I've been fighting, I don't know, cold, sinus, whatever it is, allergies, everything at once. But I hope it's not too difficult to listen to. And good Monday to you. And how was church yesterday? My, did we have a wonderful weekend with missionary Sam Wilson, who especially is a missionary to the Jewish people and teaching on the Jewish faith and how we can show them and witness to them that the Messiah has come and there is a Savior. And we try to point them to the one who can give them eternal life. And so we had a great time, great day yesterday, and just a wonderful, delightful time being equipped, learning how to be effective witnesses for the Lord Jesus. And hope we had a great Sunday where you were, that you were in your place, and that you were a blessing to your church and to your pastor, and that God met with you and spoke to your heart as well. And today, if your Bible's nearby, I want you to go to the book of Isaiah, Isaiah 14, Isaiah 14. And I'm going to begin reading at verse number 24. Isaiah 14 and verse 24. The Lord of hosts hath sworn, saying, surely, as I have thought, so shall it come to pass. And as I have purposed, so shall it stand, that I will break the Assyrian in my land, and upon my mountains tread him underfoot. Then shall his yoke depart from off them, and his burden depart from off their shoulders. This is the purpose that is purposed upon the whole earth. And this is the hand that is stretched out upon all the nations. For the Lord of hosts hath purposed, and who shall disannul it? And his hand is stretched out, and who shall turn it back? I want to talk to you about purpose of heart. What God is referring to here is, when God sets out to do something, he will do it. You know, God is never unable. God is never a little short this month. He's never out of time. God never says, well, something came up. No, what God purposes, he does. He purposed creation, and he did it. He purposed mankind, and he did it. He purposed to choose Israel as his people, and he did it. He purposed to deliver them into Egypt, and he did it. He purposed to bring them out of Egypt, and he did it. He purposed to part the Red Sea, and he did it. He purposed to drown the Egyptian army in the sea, and he did it. He purposed to give them a king, and he did it. He purposed to give them prophets, and he did it. He purposed to give mankind a savior, and he did it. He purposed to provide us with redemption and salvation, and he did it. He purposed to provide us with his word, and he did it. I'm saying God can do anything, and he has done everything. But before he did anything, he purposed it. I have purposed it, so shall it stand. Isaiah 14, verse 24. You'll never do what you ought to do. You'll never be what you ought to be until you purpose in your heart to do it. The fact is, that's how you got saved. You heard, you listened, and then you purposed in your heart and said, I will do this. And you prayed and asked the Lord Jesus to be your Savior. So, purpose. Purpose of heart. First of all, purpose in your heart to live for God. The church at Antioch had seen a great revival, and they send Barnabas from Jerusalem down to Antioch in Acts chapter 11. And the Bible says that in Acts 11, in verse number 23, that when he came, Barnabas, he'd seen the grace of God, he was glad, and exhorted them all that with purpose of heart they would cleave unto the Lord. They're new believers. Barnabas has come, and he says, now what you need is, you need to purpose in your heart that you'll cleave to the Lord. The word cleave there is glued to the Lord, super glued, if you will. In other words, the purpose is to see how close to the Lord I can be. Listen, you're only as good a Christian as you purpose to be. If the reason you don't faithfully read or study your Bible is because you never purpose to do so. The reason you don't come to church Sunday morning, Sunday night, and Wednesday night is you never purpose to be faithful. You'll never read your Bible faithfully till you purpose to read it faithfully. You'll never pray daily until you purpose to pray daily. You'll never come back to church on a Sunday night or a Wednesday night until you purpose to come back to church on Sunday night and Wednesday night. You'll never witness for Christ until you purpose to witness for Christ. Let me encourage you today, as Barnabas did these believers in Antioch, that with purpose of heart, cleave to the Lord. Resolve in your heart to draw nigh to God. Resolve in your heart to lean on His Word. Resolve in your heart to pray and assemble with other believers. Resolve in your heart that God will be first, that serving God a priority. Recently I read a poem. It said, "Leftovers are such humble things. We would not serve to a guest, and yet we serve them to our Lord, who deserves the very best. We give to Him leftover time, stray minutes here and there, leftover cash we give to Him, such few coins as we can spare. We give our youth unto the world, to hatred, lust, and strife. Then in declining years, we give to Him the remnant of our life." That's so sad, but it's often true, is it not? Don't give God the leftovers. Give Him the first fruits. There was a sign on a church door that was no longer meeting. The building was abandoned. And the sign on the door said this: "Gone out of business." Didn't know what our business was. Oh, that's so tragic. And that's so true often in our churches. Billy Sunday said, more men fail through lack of purpose than lack of talent. Oh, my friend, purpose what you're going to do. You'll make time for what you purpose to do. You'll clear the schedule for what you purpose to do. You'll get done what you purpose to do. Purpose to live for God. But then, secondly, purpose not to defile yourself. Purpose not to defile yourself. The Bible says in Daniel 1:8, Daniel purposed in his heart not to defile himself with the king's meat or the wine which he drank. Daniel's in a strange land, hundreds of miles from home. Different customs, different foods. It'd be easy to cave in. Hundreds of others did. He was a minority among the minority. God's people ought to purpose in their heart not to defile themselves with the sin, the wickedness, the immorality, the vulgarity of this world. What I'm saying is, have you purposed in your heart to live holy? Have you purposed in your heart to please God? Have you purposed in your heart to be clean in your thoughts? Have you purposed in your heart to be set apart to God? Have you purposed in your heart to be a clean vessel for God to use? Have you purposed in your heart not to defile yourself with pornography, profanity, rock music, worldly philosophy of Hollywood? Not to defile yourself with the filth on television or the movies? You see, purpose is done ahead of time, not at the moment of temptation. When Daniel purposed that he would not defile himself, he prayed 3 times a day. He could interpret dreams. He had an excellent spirit. He was promoted in the kingdom. But it all started when he purposed in his heart. Purpose to cleave to the Lord. Purpose not to defile yourself. Purpose to speak right. Over in Psalm, the 17th Psalm, and verse number 3, the psalmist said this: "Thou hast proved mine heart, thou hast visited me in the night, thou hast tried me, and thou shalt find nothing. I have purposed that my mouth shall not transgress." Wow. Psalm 19, verse 14, "Let the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer." James reminds us that the tongue is unruly evil. There's an unkind tongue, there's a cutting tongue, there's a vile tongue, there's a cursing tongue, there's a degrading tongue, there's a gossiping tongue. And that usually is because you never purposed not to transgress with the tongue. Ephesians 4:29 says, "Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying." You say, "Well, I just can't do that, Pastor." Well, have you ever purposed not to do it? The Bible's filled with condemnation of people that slander other people. It condemns with great severity people who even take up a reproach about other people. It's just as bad to carry a rumor around after it starts as it is to start it. There's a rabbi that has lectured around the country on the powerful and often negative impact of words. He's asked his audiences if they can go for 24 hours without saying any unkind words about or to anybody. And he says, invariably, the majority of listeners raise their hands, signifying, yes, they can, but quite a few of them call out and say, no, I can't. He said, for those who can't answer yes, you have to recognize you have a serious problem. Listen, if you can't go 24 hours without liquor, you're addicted to alcohol. If you can't go 24 hours without smoking, you're addicted to nicotine. If you can't go 24 hours without saying unkind words about others, then you've lost control of your tongue. There's no area of life in which so many of us systematically violate the golden rule as in the air of our tongue. So he encourages his audiences to monitor their conversations for 2 days. Write down on a piece of paper every time you say something negative about someone who's not present. Also record when other people do, as well as your reaction when that happens. Do you try to silence the speaker, or do you ask for more details? Do you ensure the accuracy, or make no effort to change the content of your conversations throughout the two-day period? Most of us who take this test are unpleasantly surprised. James doesn't give us a list on tips of how to control our tongue, because most of us, like the alcoholic, are in denial about the magnitude of the problem. The first step to dealing with the problem is to acknowledge I have a problem. And I have a serious problem. We all have the tool of Satan in our own mouth. James 3 is the key to solution. And no man can tame, but God surely can. And so ask God purpose in your heart to control your tongue. And then purpose in your heart to give. The Bible says that we ought to purpose in our heart. Every man as he purposeth in his heart. 2 Corinthians 9 verse 7. You know, you give cheerfully to the Lord, because you purpose to give cheerfully to the Lord. If you don't give cheerfully, it's because you never purpose to give cheerfully. Give according to your income. Our God may make your income according to your giving. Statistics tell us the average church member contributes between 1.5 and 2.5% of his total income to the Lord's work. No wonder we're not reaching the world. No wonder we're not reaching folks with the gospel. We're not going to reach the world on our spare change. Give to the work of God. J.L. Kraft, who had been head of the Kraft Cheese Corporation, had given approximately 25% of his income to Christian causes through the week for many years. He said this, the only investment ever made which had paid consistently increasing dividends is the money I've given to the Lord, end quote. J.D. Rockefeller said, I never would have been able to tithe the first million I ever made if I had not tithed my first salary, which was $1.50 per week. When Mary took that alabaster box of ointment and anointed the feet of Jesus, how could she do that? It was so expensive. She purposed to do it. That's how. I'm telling you today, purpose in your heart. You'll never have a good marriage till you purpose to have one. You'll never be a good son or daughter till you purpose to be one. You'll never be a good wife or husband or Christian until you purpose to be one. Purpose to live for God. Purpose not to defile yourself. Purpose to speak right. And purpose to give. Purpose of heart. I hope you live on purpose today and you'll honor God in everything we do and everything we say. All right. Have a great Monday, everybody. I look forward to being with you again on our broadcast tomorrow. And until tomorrow, this is Brother Slayball reminding you, be good to everyone because everyone's having a tough time.
Thank you for listening today. If this broadcast was an encouragement to you, we would love to hear from you. You can contact us by email at pastor@bbcgrovecity.org, or you can call us at area code 614-875-2190. We invite you to visit us at the Bible Baptist Church at 2758 Home Road in Grove City, Ohio. Our service times are Sunday morning at 9:30 for Sunday school and 10:30 for the morning worship service. We meet back together at 5:30 for our evening service and on Wednesday at 6:30 p.m. We also host the Bridge to Recovery Ministry, a faith-based recovery program bringing transformation to hurting people and our community. We meet every Thursday at 6:30 in the evening. You can find more information at our website about this and other ministries of Bible Baptist Church at bbcgrovecity.org. We hope that today these were truly words to encourage. Words to Encourage is paid for by the generous members and supporters of the Bible Baptist Church in Grove City, Ohio.
The joy of serving Jesus with a smile, a bright sunny smile.